Hello and welcome to our program. We've been talking about a Bible revival. We're looking in Nehemiah chapter 3. We've looked at the sheep gate, speaks of our relationship with the Lord, the fish gate, where we reach out to others, the old gate, the Bible says, seek ye the old paths. And today we're going to talk about the valley gate. Stay tuned for our program. I'm reading Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 13. It says, the valley gate repaired Hanum and the inhabitants of Zanoah. They built it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. So there's a lot of work going on here in this valley gate too. Now the valley gate was the lowest portion of the wall, and obviously it was in the valley. And it represents humility. It's interesting that when Nehemiah arrived at Jerusalem, he took a survey trip, and he went back in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up by night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. Now it's interesting that when Nehemiah came to Jerusalem, he went out by night and he surveyed alone. He went out here and he surveyed the valley gate, the dung gate, and the gate of the fountain. Now the valley gate represents humility. The dung gate, that's where they carried out the garbage. And then the gate of the fountain represents the Holy Spirit. And then he goes back to the gate of the valley. It's interesting that he starts with that valley gate and he goes back and looks at that valley gate again. Again, it represents humility. It's interesting that the first point in the Lord's message, the first message and the first point in his message is found in Matthew 5, verse number 3, where he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he started out talking about humility. The last words in the Bible are found in Revelation 22 and verse 21. And it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, how do we get that grace? Well, James 4 and 6 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And so the Lord starts out with his first point in his first message with a focus on humility. He ends the whole New Testament with a focus on humility. And so as we get into this portion of Scripture, and we're talking about, you know, the prelude to revival, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:15, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people, now obviously this has to do with Israel back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 15. However, the principle is the same for all of us. If my people, we are his people, we are called Christians. The Greek word there is Christ ones. That's what Christian means, Christ ones, which are called by his name. Now, what do we have to do? It says if we would humble ourselves. Now, we're talking about us being a three-part being. We're a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body is the part that we live in. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the spirit is that part where the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, the verse says, if we would humble ourselves, that is the self-life, that has to do with the mind, the will, and the emotions. Again, in James chapter 4, and verse number 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. humble yourselves. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So there's no sense just sitting around praying and saying, Lord, please humble me. No, humble yourself. Do it yourself. It's just a simple case of getting in touch. Really, it takes us back to the first gate, which is has to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that is what it should be, then we'll not have any trouble with this valley gate in humbling ourselves. Now, it says, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. That word wicked is kind of strong. The Hebrew word actually has been translated wrong, and it could just simply mean going the wrong way. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, going the wrong way doesn't seem like much to us. Well, to God, it's wicked. If we're going to go the wrong way, it's wicked. So we're looking at the prelude to revival. Nehemiah chapter 1, we saw back in verse 6 and 7, that he humbled himself. He said, we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee. And again, we saw he went on to say, what was it that they did? Was it something immoral? Were they really wicked people? Well, he said, we've dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Now, commandments, that's the things that God says we are supposed to do. The statutes, that's how we do them. And the judgments, that is having the discernment to know the things of God. And so there's no excuse for us not having the discernment, because it comes from taking the Word of God into our lives, letting it change our mind, our will, and our emotions. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read in verse number 1, the elders, Peter wrote, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. And for 4 verses here, he tells these pastors how they ought to do things. And then in verse 5, he says, likewise, ye youngers, that would be the followers, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, number 1, be subject one to another. Number 2, be clothed with humility. Now, that has been translated, the next word is for has been translated because 173 times, because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, that just goes totally and completely against the old nature. We have two natures. If you're a Christian, you have that old nature that just wants to do wrong, and you have that new nature that wants to do right. And it's whichever nature we feed, that's the one that's going to grow. Well, that old nature, those disciples back there in Matthew 18 and verse number 2 were arguing among themselves as who should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says that Jesus in verse 2 called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said in verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the child does not make himself lower than the rest of the people. He already knows that he is lower than the rest of the people. And that's what the metaphor is here. The Lord says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Quit thinking you're the greatest. Just humble yourself like this little child. It says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these 6 things does the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Number 1 on the list, a proud look. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We read in Isaiah 66:2, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my words. And so we see here that Nehemiah went out, and he went to the valley gate, and back in chapter 2, he went out there first before he began what he did begin a little later on in chapter 3. And he went out to the valley gate, and it says, even before the dragon well. Now, that's interesting. The dragon well. What is the dragon in the Bible? Well, it says in Revelation 20 and verse 2 that the Lord will lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And so we find that right near that valley gate, we got that old serpent, the devil, there, and he's going to do everything he can to keep us living a life of pride rather than humbling ourselves before the Lord. Well, being down in the valley is a humiliating thing. One day I wrote a poem. Let me read it to you. It says, "Down in the valley, help me to know that I'm in the place where you want me to grow. I want to climb to the mountain above, but you keep me low because of your love. You know that nothing on the mountain will grow. It's just a rock all covered with snow. Down in the valley, you've taught me to know that I'm in the place where everything grows. Thanks for the mountains, and thanks for the snow, and thanks for the valley where you let me know that flowers and grass and things that are dear grow down in the valley where it becomes clear that you keep us there because of your love. So help me forget that mountain above. Then if for a season I'm up for a time, bring me back down that the growth might be mine."